I need you to listen to me carefully. The things that I'm about to share with you are life and death serious. I'm not saying these things to you right now to bring any type of fear, doubt, or worry into your life. The Lord has revealed some things to me, and I am here to share them with you. I need to give you an extreme warning for viewer discretion. The things that I'm about to share with you are very dark in nature. I strongly recommend that you do not watch or listen to this message with children present. Please take a moment to pray for discernment and pray for the Lord's hedge of protection around you, your family, and your home. Again, I'm telling you these things because the Bible says that we are called to take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, have no fellowship with these things, but we are rather to reprove these things. We're called to expose this darkness in this world and in this hour that we now live, which is, I believe, the hour of revelation, which is also the final chapter of the Bible. So with that being said, we talked in last week's episode about how all of these Epstein files are being revealed all of a sudden as we spoke about how I believe that we are living in an hour of revelation. But we know that in warfare, every time there is an attack, the enemy will have a counterattack. And I prayed about this and I asked the Lord to reveal to me what's going to happen here. And He showed me that while God is exposing this darkness that's on the earth, the enemy is going to use it to his advantage. And make no mistake, Satan himself is waging war on the children of God, as the Bible says that it is given unto Satan to make war with the saints and overcome them. Now, what I noticed here is that these Epstein files are trickling out like breadcrumbs. We saw one moment where Donald Trump said that this is all a hoax and there's nothing to it, it's all fake.
So this is a Democrat hoax that never ends. You know, it reminds me a little of the Kennedy situation. We gave him everything over and over again, more and more and more, and nobody's ever satisfied. From what I understand, I could check, but from what I understand, thousands of pages of documents have been given. But it's really a Democrat hoax because they're trying to get people to talk about something that's totally irrelevant to the success that we've had as a nation since I've been president. So what they're trying to do with the Epstein hoax is get people to talk about that instead of speaking about the tremendous success like ending seven wars. Sure. I ended seven wars. Nobody's going to talk about because they're going to talk about the Epstein whatever. Sure.
And then all of a sudden we see nearly 3 million of these files just roll out. And people are going to the DOJ website and they're finding all of these horrific emails and all of these terrible things that are being done to children. Now, something else I noticed was very disturbing. We recently saw the president come out and say regarding the Epstein files that he believes that it's time for the country to just move on to something else.
I think it's really time for the country to get onto something else. Really. You know, now that nothing came out about me, other than it was a conspiracy against me, literally, by Epstein and other people. But I think it's time now for the country to maybe get onto something else.
Now, when I saw this, I was pretty disgusted because I was thinking, need we remind you that this is one of the core reasons why the American people voted you into office was to expose this evil cabal of people that are doing these things in this country and around the world? Why all of a sudden would you think for some reason that the country just needs to move on from this after you just told us that it was a hoax? And now all of a sudden we're seeing over 3 million files being released on these things. This is the thing that you campaigned on. You told the American people that day one, if you were reelected, that you would release the Epstein files. And now your entire cabinet is trying to cover these things up and downplay it and say that we need to focus on things like the economy. Let me tell you something, guys. It doesn't matter if we shut the economy down, when it comes to the safety and security of the most innocent members of our society. Because make no mistake, ladies and gentlemen, society is judged based on how it treats its weakest member. Now, some of you may have heard about this and some of you may not have, but I ask that you would prepare your heart for the things that I'm about to say because it is very disturbing. Allegedly, there is a video circulating on the dark web, and it contains Hillary Clinton and Uma Abedin, and they are performing this satanic ritual sacrifice on this young girl. And what they're saying this video contains is Hillary Clinton slicing the face of this young girl off and putting it on her face. And the account that I heard, they said that there were 12 New York homicide detectives that watched this video. And not long after that, 9 of these men committed suicide. And a lot of people know that there's a lot of death surrounding the Clintons. But when I thought about this and I thought, you know, it's kind of crazy, maybe they didn't want them to talk about this, but why would only 9 out of the 12 that watched this have committed suicide? And it's easy to assume that maybe they had just knocked these people off because maybe they were going to tell somebody. But I believe that there's something much deeper going on here because it made me think about a time that I had a friend who was a police officer. And he told me about how he used to go to these calls where somebody had committed suicide in their house. And he was a spiritual man. He believed in Jesus Christ. He's since passed on. But he said that he can recall when he went into the house where this body was, where these people had done this, that he felt like this dark, evil spirit tried to attach to him. And he said that the only way that he could get this off of him was to get back in his cruiser and turn on praise and worship music as loud as he could turn it and pray that Jesus would remove this spirit from him. And he wrestled with some of these things and he shared these things with me and we prayed together. And unfortunately, he ended up getting cancer and dying. But it made me think about this testimony that he had shared with me about how this spirit basically leaped onto him when he would go into these houses. So when I think about these videos that these homicide detectives watched, and we think about the nature of what is allowed into your life, when you open these videos that contain these satanic rituals and they allow these demons into your life, if he could feel that spirit on him, who's to say that when these men watched this video of these people performing this evil, that that spirit didn't get on them and that was the reason why they went and killed themselves. Now, this is all allegedly, right? I'm not trying to sit here and say that I know these things to be fact. I was not there. I did not see them. But it sure does make a lot of sense when you look at these things with spiritual eyes. What people are not prepared for is that now that these files have been released, there are going to be many videos of horrific things that these people have done released for the world to see. And these videos are going to contain the ritual sacrifice of children, torture, satanic ritual abuse, and many other evil, demonic things that are going to be out there for people to look at. Now, it's one thing to expose evil, but what do you think is going to happen when hundreds of millions of people begin to replay these videos in their home? They're literally going to be an audience and they're going to entertain these ritual sacrifices that were intentionally filmed. Make no mistake, these people filmed these things for a reason. They documented these things because when you choose to look at these things, you allow these things into the windows to your soul. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 22, "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? What you need to understand there is he said, if thine eye be single, if you're focused on Jesus Christ, if you're focused on things of the Spirit, then your whole body is going to be full of light. But if you allow so much darkness in, if that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? And I believe that we're living in an hour where Satan is about to counter this revelation that God is showing the people, all of these evil ones that are in the world. He's going to counter by saying, that's okay. I'm going to let hundreds of millions, if not billions of people, entertain these ritual sacrifices that were done to loose and summon high-level demons onto the earth. Now, I believe that God will appoint certain people to be able to see these things with his hedge of protection so that they can expose these evil people that are performing these evil deeds here on this earth. But what about these people who are out here living lukewarm lives and playing church, who are not suited up with the whole armor of God, who are not praying and fasting and seeking the Lord's will for their life, covered by the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit? What do you think's going to happen when all of these people begin to watch these things and allow these things into their lives? We're talking about satanic rituals that people are going to literally come into agreement with when they watch these things, and they are going to loose high-ranking demons into their lives that are so powerful they will be able to overpower their own soul. Now, I want to give you an idea of just how sinister and evil some of these people are. I noticed that there was an email in one of these Epstein files that was a redacted name speaking with Jeffrey Epstein. And the content of this email was where he was talking about one of the girls that they were molesting and abusing. She had made the comment that she said when she laid down at night, she could feel the presence of Jesus Christ, that he was with her, laying right beside her while she was being abused, and that he had saved her life. And he said, whoops. And the other person replied and said, well, you should dress up like him when you see her. Now, I want you to think about that for a second. These guys are sitting here mocking this little girl who's being abused by these demons. And she's proclaiming that she knows that the presence of God is with her and that he is protecting her. And they're laughing about how that they should dress up like Jesus Christ when they go to abuse her. That's the kind of evil we're talking about here, guys. That's the kind of demonic activity that's being exposed. And here's the next thing. When you look into some of these files, I'm not talking about going and watching these videos. I'm talking about going and educating yourself on the depth of evil that these people are capable of, right? Being wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove, and praying for discernment on what your enemy is capable of. There are references to things like pizza and grape soda and all of these terminologies that these pedophile networks use to identify as code words for these children that they traffic and abuse. But I noticed that these people were talking about something that they eat, and this word jerky is mentioned over and over, thousands upon thousands of times throughout these files and emails. And these people are talking about how they're going to get some jerky this weekend, and they're so excited, and talking about how some people have some in their refrigerator, and whenever you bring it, make sure you put an ice pack on it to keep it cold. And some of these congressmen and officials with the government have read this, and they said it's obviously a code word. We're not sure what it is. Anybody in their right mind can see that these people are talking about human meat. These people are cannibals. They are literally eating the flesh of people. And in some of these emails, they're even talking about how they are so excited because they get to have babies. What do you think these people are talking about when they're talking about, ooh, we get to have babies this weekend, and we're going to have some jerky, and so-and-so is going to come over and tell us how to make jerky and show us how to prepare it? These people are talking about this in thousands of emails. I would be comfortable in making the assumption that they're not talking about making their own beef jerky. These people that are trafficking these children and doing these things, you need to understand that this is complete and total wickedness. We're seeing all of that being revealed. And what was going on in the days of Noah? What was going on in these days where people openly worshiped Baal and Moloch and sacrificed these children? They were eating meat given to burnt offerings. What did Paul warn the Corinthians and all of these different people throughout the churches? Do not eat meat given to burnt offerings and sacrifices. That's what these people did. And we're seeing that manifest in these files. Ladies and gentlemen, it is pure evil. These are the cabal of Satan. These people worship the devil. You need to understand that that is being revealed in this hour. These people perform these rituals to summon demons, high-ranking demons, into their lives. They do possession rituals. They do these things to gain power from these deities. As we know, the Bible says that Satan himself is the prince of the power of the air. He is the god of this world. He has authority here to give the kingdoms of this earth because he told Jesus, if you bow down to me, I'll give you all the kingdoms of the earth because they're mine to give. I'm coming to you with this warning tonight because I believe that Satan is about to loose these things on the earth because he knows that there are going to be hundreds of millions of people that will go and look at these things and loose these things into their lives. We're talking about an event on this earth that is going to increase darkness to a place that it could literally open the gates of hell on this earth. Do you not understand that the Bible says, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many will wax cold? What do you think it's going to take for that to happen? We are desensitized in this generation to evil. You can turn on your social media platform and see filth, iniquity, sin, and evil at your fingertips. It is all around us. There is no restriction on these things. But for people, everyday people, who are not suited with that full armor of God, who do not walk filled with the Holy Spirit, with the hedge of the protection of the Lord, and they loose these things into their lives, it is literally going to cause the hearts of men to wax cold. And the Bible says what is loosed on earth is loosed in heaven, and what is bound on earth is bound in heaven. You have to understand that these people are doing these things to increase darkness on the earth. The devil literally has a slogan. They call it as above, so below. Jesus said, you are the light of the world and a city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hid. You should therefore go and shine as lights among men. As members of the body of Christ, we are called to go and increase light on this earth. That is above. That is a commandment from the Lord above. But what does Satan say? As above, so below. If you're going to increase light, I'm going to increase darkness. How much more could Satan increase darkness on this earth than to put out all of their evil, demonic rituals and make them go mainstream for the world to see and harvest the energy of all who watch it? Imagine the ramifications of what's going to take place there when you have all of these people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, who are going to get curious and go look at these videos that are circulating on the internet. I've already seen some of these things come out. You may have too. Pictures of where they have prepared little children as food on platters and all of these images that are leaking out. You need to understand something, ladies and gentlemen. They filmed these things in 4K. I've heard people talking about how when these men and women in high-ranking positions went to this island and they went in to do these unspeakable things to children, they had film crews in there. They were filming it in high-quality HD. And these people, listen, They were doing that as a blackmail operation, but there's something bigger at play here because Satan knows that he's going to be revealed. He's got eyes and ears. He can read what the Bible says. The Bible says that he will have great wrath because he knows he hath but a short time at that hour of revelation when he's revealed. But you need to understand that people walk in ignorance. God said, "My people perish for a lack of knowledge." You need to understand that if you're going to allow the light, the eye is the light of the body. If you're going to fill that with that kind of darkness, the Bible says, how great is that darkness? That evil is going to increase to a place where the love of many will wax cold. The Bible says in the last days that evil men and seducers will wax worse and worse, being deceived. You need to understand that this is something that we're seeing happen in this generation. Satan knows that these things are being revealed, so he's using it to counterattack. And he says, okay, if you're going to expose me at this level and show the world what I'm doing, I'm going to let them take part in these rituals by watching it because it's so evil. And it's so grotesque that they won't be able to turn away. These people are literally eating and torturing and ritually sacrificing these children so that they can be possessed by these devils to receive this supernatural power from these entities that the Bible literally tells us are here. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 tells us, "We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against powers, principalities, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places." That also translates to governing bodies. Why do you think that it's only these wealthy, elite, powerful people that is on this list? If Satan offered Jesus these positions of power in the world, do you not think that all of these people that sit in these seats of authority around the world hold this power? They're being exposed in this moment because Jesus said, as we talked about in Luke chapter 12, "There is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and nothing hidden that shall not be made known in the light." These things are coming to the surface because we're talking about an event that could increase darkness on the earth to a place that it could literally cause the gates of hell to be opened. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 9, starting in verse 1, "And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locust were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." You need to understand something here, that the Bible is literally telling us that there's going to come a time when darkness is increased on the earth to a place where an angel sounds and the seals will be broken, and there will be a star fallen from heaven, and to him was given a key to the bottomless pit, and this pit of hell is going to be opened up on the earth. and these locusts will arise up out of the pit, having a king over them. And the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. They are going to torture men who do not have the seal of God in their foreheads. This is not the wrath of God. This is when evil is loosed on the earth. If you go into Revelation, for all you people out there that believe in this false rapture theory, you need to stop believing in these doctrines of men and believe in what the Bible says. We believe in the return of Jesus Christ. If you want to understand what the return of Jesus Christ looks like, you need to go read Matthew chapter 24, when he said, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light, and the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and the stars will depart from heaven, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. And then you will see the sign of the coming of the Son of Man on the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send forth his angels to gather together his elect from the four winds of the earth, from one end of heaven to the other." If you don't understand what that means, we are literally told here that when this pit of hell is opened up on the earth, you need to get this through your skull and understand that it says that when these locusts come out of the pit, these demons, they will be commanded not to harm the trees, the green grass, or any green thing, but only those without the seal of God in their forehead. If you think for some reason that there is not going to be any believers here that are sealed with the promised gift of the Holy Spirit, right? Then why would these locusts have to be commanded to only harm those without the seal of God in their forehead? If there weren't going to be any with the seal of God, why would they need to be commanded to only harm those without? That is because we are going to endure tribulation. Jesus told us, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world." You need to understand these things because the church, the body of Christ, not these buildings, the members of the body of Christ, which is you and me, they're not being properly prepared for the things that are coming upon the earth when people find themselves in an hour of tribulation. They are going to feel like that they were left behind because they didn't leave in the rapture. The enemy wants you to believe these things because you will be more apt to take the mark when you find yourself in the hour of trial that takes hold of the whole earth. What I'm trying to tell you here is that we see things coming to pass that is fulfilling this prophecy. This darkness is increasing on the earth, and when they loose these videos and all the people of the world begin to entertain these demonic rituals, these sacrifices, and they play them in their homes where they pray, where they sleep, where their children dwell, these demonic entities are going to be given place into their lives. Do you not understand that the Bible says, "Neither give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more." If watching pornography allows demons into your life, what do you think's going to happen when you watch the most evil rituals that can be performed to these devils and you play them over and over throughout millions of homes across the world? It is going to be the largest satanic ritual that has ever been performed in the history of the earth, because Satan is the prince of the power of the air. He has the ability to put these things out on the airwaves. We live in a generation right now where you can airdrop a 4K video that's 50 megabytes or 50 gigabytes to somebody's phone across the room. We can transfer massive files of data through the air. We see this power being manifested on the earth, and he's going to broadcast it through the internet for the world to see. Now, we've talked about this recently, how CERN is openly admitting that they are opening portals and that they have a key to open a door to bring something here to the earth. But I want you to understand something. These people have openly demonic commercials with rituals in them doing this dance of destruction. And we've talked about how they have this Shiva, this goddess of destruction, this massive bronze statue right out in front of this facility. But I recently noticed that several years back in 2016, there was this giant ritual performed at this Gothard Tunnel opening. And it's right there in Geneva, Switzerland, where CERN is located. And you don't have to look very long or hard to see that there are a lot of demonic symbolisms around CERN, with their logo to what's out front and what they talk about with this key to open this door. As we just read here in Revelation chapter 9, to him was given the key to open the bottomless pit. That's what these people are talking about doing. They're already saying when they collide these particles inside of this LHC, this Large Hadron Collider, that they're seeing faces and entities begin to appear in these tunnels. They're capturing these things on their monitoring systems, and we see these things coming to pass. But when I looked into this tunnel opening ritual at Gothard Tunnel, it was mind-blowing at how satanic this was. Now, to me, I thought, well, that's kind of strange that they would be performing such an evil ritual here in the same location where CERN is located. But then I noticed something very interesting here in Revelation chapter 9, in verse 11. It says, "And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon." What do you hear in Greek mythology about these Greek mythical gods? His name was Apollo or Apollos. And I began to look at the location, the geographical location of CERN, and it is built in Geneva, Switzerland, which is the ancient city of Apollos, or Apollo. They had the temple of Apollyon there. The Bible tells me, and you need to pay attention here, right? Jesus said, "He who hath ears to hear, let him hear." You need to understand that the Bible is literal. It's telling us these things that are going to come to pass. But when you look at what the Bible says about this king of the pit that comes out, and his name is Apollyon, they've built this 17-mile tunnel, 300 feet under the ground, to collide these particles. Stephen Hawking, this world-renowned physicist, came out and said that if they don't know that they know what they're doing, they could open a black hole here on this earth. What is the definition of a black hole, as these scientists call it? It is literally a bottomless pit. He went on to say that it could destroy our world as we know it. But what's crazy to me is they built this thing in the same location where the temple to this demon was worshipped, the god Apollos, or Apollo, right? The Bible says there are gods many and lords many, but there is one God and Father of all. But we're talking about God with a little g, right? One of these deities that people worshiped, and we hear about it in Greek mythology. But if they're saying that they have a key to open a door, and all of their advertisements are saying that they desire to open up this pit, basically, and they're in the same location where this deity was worshiped, Apollo, and the Bible says that the king of the bottomless pit is Apollyon, I don't know how much more I could paint that picture for you so that you could understand. This is what these people are doing, and they have to increase darkness, right? CERN tells us that their goal is to create dark matter here on this earth. They desire to increase that outer darkness that is outside of the veil. You need to understand, when Jesus said so there are going to be people, they're going to be cast into outer darkness. They're trying to bring that into our reality and increase this darkness on the earth. I believe that this very well could be the event that Satan is planning, to increase darkness to a place that it causes the event that opens the gates of hell, that will bring forth this prophecy that could, because he's obviously trying to speed things up so that he can win this war. The Bible tells us that the victory has already been won, right? The victory was won on the cross at Calvary when Jesus said, "It is finished." But you need to prepare your heart for the fact that the Bible tells us that men's hearts will fail them from fear of looking at the things that are coming upon this earth. I saw that on December 24th, 2024, Pope Francis held this massive door-opening ritual and they live-streamed it for the world to see. And what he was doing was opening the doors to St. Peter's Basilica, and they called them the Holy Doors. And I don't know how many of you guys have looked into Catholicism and how much evil is behind the Vatican and what goes on there, but when I looked into this name of this basilica, it's called St. Peter's Basilica, and there are a lot of very evil, demonic things and symbolisms inside of this place that represent serpents and demons. But when I looked into the name of what a basilica is, I began to research that, and it literally translates to a abode of basilisk. Anybody that looks into what an abode is, that is a dwelling place, right? It is a home or a dwelling place. But what is a basilisk? When I researched what this is, a basilisk is known as the ancient serpent that kills with a glance. So when you put all these things together and what St. Peter's Basilica translates to, it literally is saying it is the dwelling place of the ancient serpent that kills with a glance. It is a basilica, the abode of basilisk, the abode of the ancient serpent. So this guy is literally performing a ritual for the world to watch. They live streamed it, of him opening these doors, and the guy looked terrified when he walked in. He was looking around like he was about to see something crazy. And I believe that this was symbolic of what these people are doing because of all of the evil that has been done beneath this Vatican, in these catacombs and these dungeons that they have down here. And they're opening up these so-called holy doors to loose things on the earth, because as we talked about, their desire is to increase this darkness on the earth, to loose these demons in our reality. And you can see all of the symbolism that is around these places, that surround these people. As we talked about, this old saying that says symbolism will be their downfall. The reason that I'm giving you this message is to bring a stern warning to the members of the body of Christ. You be careful about what you look at in the days ahead, because there is going to be evil like you have never, ever imagined, put on display for the world to see. If you are not prayed up and fasted and suited up with the whole armor of God, covered with the blood of Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, walking worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called, you be very careful about what you tread in, ladies and gentlemen, because these things are the most evil. I believe that the enemy has a plan to put these things out here for the world to see, so that people would come into agreement with these rituals to entertain these things, so that they could harvest the energy of these innocent people who have walked in ignorance and allowed these things into their lives. What do you think is going to happen when this pit is opened up and these locusts come out? They're going to be allowed to harm those men without the seal of God in their forehead. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a lot of people in this generation that are playing church. We got a lot of people. Jesus said in that day, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in your name, done many great works, and cast out devils? And he will say, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I never knew you. He said, not all who say to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, You need to understand that the Bible tells us there are more people who claim to have the Holy Spirit that don't have it than there are who actually have it. This is the generation we live in where these people, they have the form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. And the Bible warns us to stay away from those people, turn away from these people, right? These people are going to walk in ignorance to their own demise. The Bible says that there are some vessels fitted for destruction. There are some who have crept in unawares, who have desired to pervert the gospel of God. The enemy has sown tares amongst the wheat. But I want you to understand something here, ladies and gentlemen. We are now living in an hour of increased spiritual warfare like the world has never seen, because we are nearing the time of the end. But I want to tell you that there is an amazing blessing that is going to come from all of this for all of you who have doubt or unbelief. If you've ever doubted in your faith, or you just don't believe at all that Jesus Christ is real, this is your eye-opening moment, and you need to pay attention here, because the devil has walked out onto the main stage in front of the world and told you that he is real. Do you think that these people perform these sacrifices and do all of these horrific things to children because all of this stuff is a hoax? These people are doing these things because they're gaining power. The Bible warns you, what shall it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Do you not see that the enemy is real? I shared this with you before, but I feel like people brush these things off because they have a spirit of ignorance and doubt and unbelief. The Lord put a word of wisdom on my heart, and he said to understand that hell is real is to know that Jesus Christ is real, and the knowledge of one should bring fear of the other. Do you not understand that the Bible tells us that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding? We have people walking through this world as if they just want to live and die and eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. They don't understand that you were placed here for a purpose. This is the season of your life in which you were born for. You were called for a higher purpose than just living and dying. You are called to increase light on this earth so that you may return to your Creator, that you may be in a place of salvation, because He loves you so much. We see so many people that walk in darkness and ignorance, and they don't even understand that they live in a spiritual battle day in and day out, and that battle wages for their soul all the day long. These devils do not sleep. They do not rest. They seek to have you so that they may sift you like wheat. But Jesus Christ, the righteous, came and paid the price for the sins of the world, so that if whoever would believe in him would not perish but have everlasting life. It's all real, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible is truth and it's real. And he came so that you would have life and have it more abundantly. I don't know what else to tell you if you don't see through all of this darkness that's being revealed in this hour that Jesus Christ is Lord, and that he's coming to gather together his elect from the four winds of the earth to receive his bride so that you would have life eternally. He said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly, and I'm bringing with me each man's reward according as his works shall be." He also said, "Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast to that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." He's telling you there's nothing on this earth that is worth losing salvation over. You need to understand that now is the time to get your heart and your house in order with the living God, because we see darkness increasing on this earth to a place that we've never seen it before. Where are the men and women of God that are called to stand in agreement, to stand in the gap, to make prayers and intercession to the throne of God for these innocent children who are being tormented day and night? Where are the people of God? Where are the members of the congregation who are ready to come out of this denominational division and stand in agreement with the members of the body of Christ, that we may pray that the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would put his hand against the darkness that is coming upon this earth? It is time to arise out of sleep, O sluggard, and prepare your heart for the things that are coming upon this earth. Prepare your house. That means spiritually. Get your life in order with the living God. Do you not understand that the sin that we walk in and live in daily and choose to do, that is the very bondage? The Bible says that sin is bondage. Lust, when it is conceived, bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. You need to get these things out of your life. All of the fear, doubt, worry, unbelief, unforgiveness, iniquity, perversion. Cast your cares upon the Lord, for he careth for you. Jesus came so that we would have this life abundantly, but not so that we would continue to live in sin. God forbid. We must repent. The word repent means remorse. It is true regret. We are entering into an hour, ladies and gentlemen, where I'm beginning to understand why the book of Genesis says that it repented God in his heart that he had made man on the face of the earth, because he saw that the hearts of men were only continually evil. Do you understand that that's the hour that we live in? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so also will it be in the coming of the Son of Man. I can't imagine that God's not looking at the face of the earth and seeing what the plans of the enemy are and how people are falling into the trap that he's not repented in his heart. He regrets, right? That repent means regret. That is the same feeling that we have to have for this sin and iniquity that we've walked in. You see, all of these people that are tore up about the Super Bowl halftime show, when we just saw the most evil revealed in the world, and they're doing it to the most innocent thing we have on this earth, which is the human child, the children of God. These people are doing evil on the face of this earth. They no longer hide. They walk in the daylight, performing evil in the day in the sight of men. They no longer try to conceal these things because they know that this is the hour of revelation. They're being exposed for the world to see. It's time for the sons and daughters of God to repent for these sins, to turn from their iniquity. It's not that you can live perfect. I say this every time, because you have these people who come in to pervert the gospel of God, to twist the gospel, to try to use the blood of Jesus as a license to sin. You need to understand that you have that remorse for the iniquity that you've walked in. So you repent. You ask the Lord to forgive you for these things, to allow the blood of Jesus to pay for these sins. Then you turn and go and sin no more. Your desire is to no longer walk in these things. Jesus said you must be born again. What is born of the flesh is flesh, but what is born of the Spirit is spirit. You must be transformed by the renewal of your mind in Christ. You will become a new creature in Christ. Jesus told us, when you see somebody who walks in the world, whoever is not for me is against me, and whoever does not gather scatters abroad. Therefore you shall know them by their fruits. These people are arguing about who had the better halftime show and talking about how Kid Rock came and preached the gospel. Hey, I rejoice that Christ has preached. I'm thankful that he got up there and said the name of Jesus. But in 2 weeks from now, when he's on stage singing about strippers and cocaine and all of this evil filth and iniquity and running his foul mouth in front of the world, are you still going to tell me that he's an evangelist, that he's doing the work of God? You need to understand that these people are leading you into a deception and preparing you for the false Christ, the Antichrist that the Bible says comes before Jesus returns. And for no marvel, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He's going to declare himself to be God before the world. And there are going to be so many people deceived that the Bible says, for the sake of the elect, those days hath been shortened, that no flesh might be saved. He's saying that it is going to get so bad during the tribulation that he's going to shorten that 7-year period to a time of 3.5 years, because it's going to be so bad that no flesh might be saved. Everyone would be deceived. That's how bad it's going to be. There are a lot of entitled people in this generation who can't see the forest for the trees. Look at all of these celebrities that have told you openly, we've sold our soul to the devil.
If your ultimate goal is to be famous, then you're gonna do a lot to get there, like sign your name in blood in a contract with the devil.
I kind of sang about, you know, what was going on in my life at 15, and that's how I got introduced to the music industry. I swear I wanted to be like the Amy Grant of music.
Yeah.
But it didn't work out, and so I sold my soul to the devil.
Well, needless to say, sold my soul. Do you record while the bus is moving, or does it have to come to a stop?
Sometimes they don't want to, and they're, you know, Gaga, we can't get, you know, the frequency's weird, and, you know, it's sounding a little bit strange, and I'm like, if you don't get this right now, I swear to Lucifer, I'm gonna, you know, I get a little bit mad.
I sold my soul to the devil. I know it's a crappy deal. Lisa came with a few toys like a Happy Meal.
Why is your hand over your eye?
Because I'm a devil worshiper. What are you talking about? All right, well, I have tickets to see the devil worshiper.
Roman is a crazy boy who lives in me. And he says the things that I don't want to say. He was born, just a few months ago. I think he was born out of rage. He was conceived in rage. So he bashes everyone. He threatens to beat people, and he's violent.
That must be nice to have, like, an ignorant loudmouth who you can just sort of blame every...
He wants to be blamed. I don't want to blame him. I ask him to leave, but he can't. He's here for a reason. People have brought him out. People conjured him up. Now he won't leave.
You're still out here doing these songs, you know, you're still on tour.
I do, but I don't take it for granted.
Why do you still do it? Why are you still out here?
Well, it goes back to the destiny thing. I mean, I made a bargain with it, you know, a long time ago, and I'm holding up my end.
What was your bargain?
To get where I am now.
Should I ask who you made the bargain with?
with the chief commander.
On this earth?
And on this earth and then in a world we can't see.
I met the devil in God's country. You know, and it's not so much who, it's what, you know, what happens and the things that the devil does. It's not so much a person, even though he acts through people. You know, you can't call one person the devil.
Joe Arpaio?
You know, you can't call any one person the devil. You can't do that because no one person has enough power to be the devil, you know?
And I just think that the whole idea of celebrity and fame has become really convoluted and, you know, kind of bastardized. Like, whereas fame used to be the byproduct of success, and now it's the ultimate goal. And you, if your ultimate goal is to be famous, then you're going to do a lot to get there. Like, sign your name in blood in a contract with the devil. Like, you're going to end up on a one-way street, and it's going nowhere. Like, that's just the truth. I've seen so many people, like, forsake their moral code and their value systems just for a little bit of fame, and it's not worth it at the end of the day. It's really not worth it.
All of these pop artists and these rappers and these famous individuals have signed contracts in their own blood to sell their soul to the devil. You need to understand that I don't believe that anybody can sell what belongs to God to the devil. There's a lot of people that say that, but here's the deal. If you want to go live in the pit of hell with Satan, God loves you enough to let you go. That is your decision to make. And if you sign your name on a dotted line to give your soul to Satan, I would say that that's a pretty good indication that you do not choose to go and dwell in your father's house, but in the pit of hell with Satan himself. Guys, the Lord put it on my heart to share these things with you so that you would prepare your house and your heart for the things that are coming upon the earth. Do you understand that there are people in this world that are on their way to hell? And some of them, the only way that they might be saved is because of you. You may be the only person that God has sent forth as a laborer into this harvest to bring forth fruit for his kingdom, to save that one soul. You are the one who is called to leave the 99 to go after that one that has went astray. And what's going to happen on the day of judgment when that was your one responsibility on this earth and you ignored it for the things of this world? Do you think that you will not be held to account on the day of judgment for not using your talent to bring forth more talents? Jesus gave us these parables so that we could understand these things. Guys, I want to share something with you. I've shared this on social media. Some of you may have heard this, but not long ago, I had a dream that was life-changing. And I felt compelled by the Holy Spirit to share this with you tonight because I believe that we are nearing the hour of the beginning of sorrows. And when the Bible says that these days will be shortened for the sake of the elect, I don't think it just means that we're going to see the time shortened by being cut in half. I believe that things are going to speed up, right? The Bible says that Satan will desire to change times and laws. We talk about these laws of physics, but the Bible says that with God, a day is 1,000 years and 1,000 years is a day. So I believe that we're going to see things ramp up so fast. And I kind of felt that in this dream, but let me share this with you. I woke up in this long corridor, this hall of beds. It was like an infirmary. And there were beds down both sides, and they went as far as you could see in this massive, long building. There were beds on this side and beds on this side, and beside of each bed was a lamp and a nightstand. And there were many people that were asleep in these beds, but I noticed that there were a few people stirring way down at the other end, and their lamp was on, and there was a commotion going on. And all of a sudden, as I wondered what was happening, I heard this voice speak my name, and it shook me to my core. And he said, "Tyler." And in a moment, when I heard this voice, I had no doubt, no question. Before I even looked, I knew within my heart of hearts that it was Jesus Christ. And there was a man standing there, and he was dressed in white, this white robe. And I could not look at his face. I didn't even try to. I just knew that I knew who he was. And he had a document in his hands. And he gave me this document and he said, "Tyler, I need you to take this. This is your boarding pass. You need to get everything in order. We're leaving in the morning." And I looked at it and it was like this checklist. And let me tell you, when I looked at this document, it wasn't like just a sheet of paper. When I looked at it, it looked life and death serious, like if you had just had a judgment passed down. It was like a certificate. And at the bottom right corner, there was this seal that had all of these. It looked like there were these symbols from a different language. Maybe it was Hebrew. I don't know. But the symbol was red and it sparkled and it moved like it was alive. And when I looked at this document, I felt the full weight of what he was saying. And I said, "We're leaving in the morning." He said, "Yes. Take this document. You have to have it. It is your boarding pass. Go and get everything in order. We are leaving in the morning." So I immediately turned and I ran up these stairs where I knew that there was this dinner party going on. And as I got to the top of these stairs, it was so real that I could vividly describe all of the details that I experienced. It wasn't like a dream. It was like I was there. This was the most real experience I've ever had in this dream. I don't know if it wasn't a vision, but it was, as I said, it was life-changing. But as I got to the top of these stairs, I could smell the food that these people were having. People were laughing and dancing and music was playing. I could hear the drums and people were dressed in tuxedos and ballroom gowns and they were passing around glasses of champagne and I could hear dishes clanking together and glasses cheering and people laughing and the music was so real. And as I got to the top of the stairs, I was going to tell them, "You've got to go get everything ready. We're leaving in the morning." And as I got to the top of the stairs and tried to yell, nothing came out and I was forced to turn and go back down. And as I turned and went back down the stairs, Jesus looked at me and said, "Tyler, you can't tell them anything. It's too late. You need to go get everything in order. We're leaving in the morning." And all of a sudden, I noticed that there was this man running from the other end of the building as fast and as hard as he could. He was sprinting and he was holding this document, the same document that I had in front of his face. And you could see that he was just overjoyed with excitement. And I felt him when he ran by, I felt the breeze come off of him. Like he, you know, when you run by somebody, you feel the air off of them. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this guy's going to run into something and hurt himself. He's not even watching where he's going, and he's sprinting like a track star. And as I looked back down at this document, the full weight of everything in my life came before my eyes. I thought about all of the things in my life. I thought about my family. I thought about my home. I thought about everything that I've ever done in this world. And I thought to myself, this is it. And before I could even finish the thought, Jesus said, this is it. We're leaving in the morning. Take your boarding pass and go get everything in order. And as he told me this, all of these cares of the world just kind of faded away, and I turned and I fell on him and I hugged his neck, and I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And listen, if I could explain to you how good this garment felt, how amazing the robe that he had on felt in my hands, I don't think that there are words on this earth that could describe what this felt like. And my whole body just wept. I cried so hard. And I just kept saying, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And when I woke up, I was crying that hard. And then when I realized when I wasn't there with him, I cried even harder, to a point to where my bones ached. I don't know how to describe it with my vocabulary, with words in this world, but it was the most amazing, incredible thing that I've ever experienced in my life. And for a few days, I tried to explain this dream to people in my family, and I couldn't even talk about it. I was so emotional that I couldn't even recount the dream. Now, as the next few days came and went, I pondered on this dream, and I kept asking myself, what does this mean? We're leaving in the morning. Obviously, the morning came and went, and we didn't leave. Like, what is this? And I prayed about it. I'm like, God, help me to understand this. And a couple of weeks later, I was standing in the shower, and I was praying, and I said, Lord, help me to understand what you meant when you said, we're leaving in the morning. And all of a sudden, this voice came over my soul that shut everything else out. It was like a thought that entered my soul that I couldn't think about anything else. And it said, the reason I said we're leaving in the morning is because the night is almost here. And I never questioned it again. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm sharing that dream with you not to sound like some crazy person. I'm not trying to sound like these people that say, oh, I've had a prophetic dream. I'm telling you, with all of my heart, as I live and breathe on my name and on my soul, the Bible says, swear by nothing, but let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. And I'm letting my yea be yea right now in this moment when I tell you, as God is my witness, this happened and it was life-changing for me. And I believe that we are nearing that midnight hour. We are about to see the night that he spoke of with this darkness that is coming upon the earth. And if that doesn't rattle your soul and have you ready to prepare your house and your heart for the fact that Jesus Christ is coming, Jesus Christ is coming to receive and gather together his bride, his elect, all who call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, who walk worthy of the vocation wherewith they were called, those who are bought and paid for by his blood. You need to understand something here. I truly believe that we are about to witness the separation of the wheat and the tares. I want to read to you here in Matthew chapter 13, starting in verse 35. It says that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. And his disciples came unto him, saying, declare unto us the parable of the tares of the field. He answered and said unto them, he that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. The field is the world. The good seed are the children of the kingdom. But the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. You need to understand that he said that there would be tares amongst the wheat, and he likened the kingdom of heaven unto these things. And the tares are the bad seed that the enemy has sown. And he's talking about these people, these children of disobedience. And in this parable, he said that he will gather together the tares first and bind them and cast them into the fire. And then he will gather together his harvest into his barn. That means that we are going to witness the separation of the tares and the wheat, and we are seeing these evil ones being exposed in this generation. You need to be walking with discernment in this hour. If you don't have discernment, how will you see the enemy that is right in front of you? The Bible tells us that the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit because they are spiritually discerned. You must have eyes to see in this generation, because if you don't, you are going to fall to the wayside as seed sown on bad soil. That is why we must always seek the Lord's wisdom and His will on all things in our life, and ask Him to guide us, lead us, and teach us in all truth, so that we may be found faithful at the return of Jesus Christ. You will need this discernment so that you can see the wolves that are in sheep's clothing. Jesus said, "Beware of false prophets, for they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves." That means they will pack a Bible. They will quote scripture. They will stand behind pulpits. There are many demons in this hour that stand behind pulpits to lead many astray. These are the people that Jesus spoke of. They are the tares that have been sown amongst the wheat. The enemy does not desire to place his people in the world. He already has them there. His goal is to put as many of his soldiers as he can amongst the body of Christ to sow discord, to steal, kill, and destroy. If you don't see that in this moment, when you go to churches and you go to these organizations and they don't preach the word of God rightly divided, you need to get up and go away from these places. You need to turn from these dens of iniquity, these dens of thieves, where they care more about money than they do about the salvation of souls, because you are going through the motions and you are living in a dead, vain religion. The Bible warns us about these people in 1 John chapter 2, and starting in verse 19, it says, "They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us." You need to understand that they started with us, but they went out so that they would be made manifest. God's going to reveal to you in this hour who are His and who are not. Do you not understand that when you get around somebody and you have a bad feeling about this person and you can't get along with them, what does the Bible say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's not just because you don't like what they got on that day, or what kind of perfume or cologne they're wearing, or what color their hair is. There is a spiritual conflict between you and that individual. And if you are walking filled with the Holy Spirit of the living God, and you feel that there is contrast, and your discernment is telling you that these people are children of disobedience and that they walk with the devil, you need to have discernment about that and separate yourself from those people. Because the Bible says in the book of Romans chapter 8 and verse 16 that the Spirit itself beareth witness that we are the children of God. That means that your spirit is going to bear witness when you get around somebody who also is indwelt with the Holy Spirit of the living God. Look at what happened when Jesus was in the womb with Mary, And John the Baptist was in the womb with Elizabeth. And when they came together, it says that they leaped in the womb. Their spirits bared witness that they were the children of God. You will have that same feeling when you get around somebody who is walking covered by the blood of Jesus. That is why it is so important in this hour to be walking with discernment, not walking in iniquity, but filled with the Holy Spirit, so that you would have eyes to see and ears to hear. I want to share something with you here, guys, so that you could understand the full weight of what is happening in this generation. In Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 16, Jesus said, "He that heareth you, heareth me, and he that despiseth you, despiseth me, and he that despiseth me, despiseth him that sent me." And the 70 returned again with joy, saying, "Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name." And he said unto them, "I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Behold, I give unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven." Do you understand what I'm saying here to you, ladies and gentlemen? We see darkness increasing on the earth. We see evil spilling out to a place that we are going to see the pit of hell opened up on this earth. I'm not telling you these things so that you would have fear. The Bible tells us that we are not given the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Jesus just told us that he gave us power to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. But are you going to miss out on the opportunity to serve the living God while you dwell upon this earth, that you may bring forth your reward in the kingdom of heaven? Remember what Jesus said, "Behold, I am coming quickly, and I'm bringing with me each man's reward according as his work shall be." The book of Jude tells us, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to bring judgment on the unrighteous." Are you going to miss out on the opportunity to be a part of that army? Are you going to throw it all away for a few tricks and toys here on earth when you have an opportunity to inherit the kingdom of God for eternity? Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time. You've been blessed with eyes to see. Jesus told us, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see. For many kings and prophets have desired to see these things and have not seen them." He's given you ears to hear and eyes to see in this moment so that you would understand that your redemption draweth nigh. He said, when you see all these things begin to come to pass, lift your head and look up and know that your redemption is drawing nigh. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the hour when the Lord God Almighty is revealing these things to the meek, to those who will inherit the earth, the people who dwell on this earth, who see the things coming, who have an opportunity to be a watchman on the wall, to sound the alarm because we see the sword coming. The book of Ezekiel tells us that if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not sound the alarm, and the people are taken in their transgression, their blood will God require at the watchman's hand. What is the sword? Jesus said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on the earth, for I am not come to send peace, but a sword." You need to understand that we see the signs of his return. Jesus told us in his word, "Thou hypocrite, how is it that you can discern the face of the sky and tell me when it's going to rain, but you do not see the signs of my return?" That is why he told us to prepare when we see these things come to pass. Ladies and gentlemen, we are not promised tomorrow. We are not promised another moment on this earth. All of the things that you have entangled your life with on this earth are vanity. The Bible tells us that we are called to endure hardness as good soldiers of Christ, and no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life so that he may please him who has called him to be a soldier. Do you understand that the Lord is coming with 10,000s of his saints to judge the unrighteous? He's going to bind the tares into bundles and cast them into the pit of hell, the lake of fire. Do you understand that you don't want to be on the other side of that? If there are things in your life in this moment that separates you from God. I encourage you fervently to get rid of these things. Remove these things out of your life. Ladies and gentlemen, be careful in this hour with what you allow into your eyes, the light of your body. Do not allow this thing that you see with to become darkness, because if that light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? You do not want to help the enemy increase darkness in this hour. We must go forth as fishers of men and beacons of light to fulfill the plan that God has set forth in our lives. I'm sharing these things with you that you may be edified. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 27 and 17, as iron sharpeneth iron, so one man sharpens the countenance of his friend. I am here not to hurt your feelings, but if the things that I say hurt your feelings, then so be it. You need to understand that it's time to wake up and separate yourself from the things of this world that are not of God. We are not children of the night, but children of the day. And I've said this before, but my goal on this earth before I leave this world is to gather as many brothers and sisters in Christ as I can, so that when we march up to the gates of heaven, we would come with an army of souls to turn many to righteousness, so that we would shine as bright as the firmament and as the stars forever and ever. Ladies and gentlemen, now is the time. This is the season in which we were born for, to warn the people of the transgressions of the world, to sound the alarm as watchmen upon the wall, so that their blood would not be required at our hands if they are taken in their transgression. All that we have to do, as Isaiah 58 and 1 says, is to cry aloud and spare not, to lift up our voice like a trumpet, to show the people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. We need to be this light in this hour, because it is about to get very dark, ladies and gentlemen. I want to take a moment to pray with you for the things that are coming, to prepare your hearts and your minds and your houses for the things that are coming upon this earth. But I encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, that you need to be fervent in prayer and steadfast and unmovable in your faith. We see the signs. We see the enemy making his final plans to make war with the saints of God to overcome them. We need to be always ready to give answer to those who ask about the hope that is inside us in this hour, that joy that we carry in our heart, because it is going to get so dark that people are going to be searching for a light in the darkness. And God said, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh in the last days, and your young men will dream dreams, and your old men will see visions, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. The only way that you are going to receive the gifts and callings of the Lord God Almighty and the anointing of His Holy Spirit is if you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you were called. You must come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. We must be so careful in this hour, ladies and gentlemen. We must increase light as the devil is increasing darkness to a place that we've never seen it before. The Bible says we must redeem the time because the days are evil. We've walked with the enemy much longer than we've walked with the Lord, and it is time to increase that light. Guys, if you haven't had a chance yet, I encourage you to go check out my website. It is tylerwoodencounter.com. I recently announced that we are starting the House of Prayer. I know I've said this before, but I need to say it again, because we're growing new subscribers every week. A lot of you guys know me from the Moonshiner Show on the Discovery Channel. A lot of you guys know me from the country music world. I sing country music. We recently released a song called Forever Is in Fire. This song is catching a lot of flack from these algorithms and social media platforms, because we wrote this song about the things that are happening right now, and they do not want you to see what the lyrics of this song is. So I encourage you to go check out Forever Is in Fire. If you just look up Tyler Wood, you will find all of my music. I will warn you, some of the things that I used to sing about are pretty rowdy, but that is my testimony. You can see where I was then and where I'm at now. I have a business that is a distillery And we built this thing because of my time on the Moonshiner Show and my family history with bootlegging and whiskey and all of these things. And through much prayer and fasting, I have decided to shut this place down and turn it into the house of prayer. I'm walking away from generational wealth to inherit eternal wealth. This is going to be like nothing you have seen before. It's not just going to be a place that's open on Sunday, but every day. It is going to be a sanctuary. It is going to be a place where men and women of God can come together and pray and make war against the enemy, to stand in agreement, to access the weapons of our warfare that are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. It's going to be a place of worship. It's going to be a place where I will be delivering messages, but where people can come and be set free from the bondage of sin and delivered from demonic oppression and possession. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a house of prayer, not a den of thieves. We will be working on building this out over the next several months. Some of you have already been taking part in supporting this, and I want to say thank you with all of my heart. If you would like to know more or help support this project, go to my website, tylerwoodencounter.com. You will see information there about it and how you can help us make this come to pass. The Lord put it on my heart to do this so that we could come together as the members of the body of Christ and shine a beacon of light from here in Kentucky that could be seen from the gates of heaven, that would spark revival all across this land. I am going to fulfill this duty with all of my heart to bring forth fruit for the kingdom of God, to save souls. This is the hour in which I was born for. I prayed about this and I said, Lord, if I do this, what am I going to do? The Bible says if a man does not work, he should not eat. And he said, you just come work for me. I own cattle on 1,000 hills. From now on, you will rob hell for a living. So that's where I'm at, ladies and gentlemen. What you see is what you get. There's been a lot of preachers stand from their pulpits and cut me down and slander me because of the things that I have walked through in this life. But I have been able to reach people that would never set foot in a church because of those same hypocrites that bite and devour their brothers and sisters in Christ because they exalt themselves above others. I am humble enough to tell you that I am nothing more than a sinner saved by the grace of Jesus Christ and my faith in Him. And I am going to go forth into this world and bring forth fruit for His kingdom until the day that I die. If you haven't got a chance yet to go check out our t-shirts, they're on our website. We've got several different designs. They're next level 100% cotton ring spun t-shirts. They're the best quality shirts I can find. They've got the Word of God written on them. They are something that I wanted to make to help you to walk in boldness. It helps us to do what we do here at the Tyler Wood Encounter and the House of Prayer when you buy these shirts. I'm not just trying to sell you merchandise, but it does help what we do. But I also wanted you to be able to wear something that could be a witness in the world. We can be ambassadors for the kingdom of God, for Jesus Christ. You could be standing in front of somebody in line at the grocery store and they can read the living word of God on your shirt, and it may be the first time that they've had the opportunity to do this, and you could be a witness. It could open that door for you to do the work of an evangelist. So if you've already bought these, we truly appreciate you. I'm going to be putting up new designs soon. If you haven't yet and you decide to, thank you with all of my heart for being a part of what God is doing here in this moment. So I want to go to prayer for you now in the name of Jesus. Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus to give you thanks, honor, and glory for the opportunity to bring forth this message, to bring forth your word to the people who choose to hear it, Lord. I just pray right now that you would bless these people with knowledge, wisdom, discernment, and above all, understanding. Lord, we know that your word says in all your getting, get understanding. So we ask you humbly in your sight that you would bless us with your understanding of these things. Then give us spiritual eyes to see the things that you need us to see, Lord. Bless us with discernment in this hour. I pray that you would set your hedge of protection around all of these people that have heard this message, that see these evil things being loosed on this earth, the plans of the enemy that are being revealed by your grace and your mercy upon your people, that we may discern these things to keep ourselves from this evil in the day of wickedness that is coming upon this earth, Lord. I just pray that you would Set your hand against the darkness that is coming upon this place and help these innocent children, Lord, that are enduring this terrible evil that has beset them, Lord. We just pray that you would guide us into all truth, Father. Help us in this moment. Use us as beacons of light and fishers of men as you look for those who are called to go forth and who you will send. Send us. Send us forth as laborers into the harvest, Father. We pray that you would use us in this hour to sound the alarm as we see the sword coming, to warn the people. Let us lift up our voice in this moment and cry aloud and spare not, Father. We do not do these things to bring fear, doubt, or worry into the hearts and minds of your children, but that they may be edified, that they may wake out of sleep and prepare their house and their heart for the things that are coming upon the earth. Father, I thank you for discernment. I thank you for these gifts that you blessed us with, Lord. I thank you for the opportunity to study your word freely. Thank you for letting us be in a country where we are not yet persecuted, for sharing your word, for we know that your word says that we will be hated by all nations for your name's sake, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for this hedge of protection. We thank you for never leaving us nor forsaking us. And I just pray that you would increase the anointing of your children in this hour as you pour out your spirit upon all flesh. We receive it. Lord, we welcome your Holy Spirit into our homes, into our lives, and we ask that you would expand your hedge of protection around us in every direction so that we would not fall into the snares of the enemy. Father, we thank you with all of our heart for your son Jesus and all that he endured on the cross for our sins. And we just pray that you would continue to touch our lives with your precious gift of heaven, the precious gift of your Holy Spirit. As we give you the glory and the honor and the praise, we say, holy, holy, holy are you, Lord God, who is and was and is to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, I thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. We've been getting some overwhelming responses to these messages, and I want to say I thank you from the bottom of my heart to the top with all of my heart. I am so grateful for each and every comment, for each and every message. We are working hard to get to all of your messages. Some of these testimonies we receive are heartbreaking. I ask that you would stand in agreement with me and help me pray for these people who need prayer, these people who are afflicted and oppressed and possessed with demonic entities. Ladies and gentlemen, in the days ahead, we are going to need soldiers for the kingdom of God to help these people, to stand in the gap, to make intercession and pray for these people. I ask that you would share this message. Make sure that you subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to this message on Apple Podcast or some of these other platforms, I want you to know that you can see the full video production. There's a lot of visuals on here that I share on the video versions. They're available on YouTube and Spotify. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the things that the Lord has placed on my heart. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been the Tyler Wood Encounter. My name is Tyler Wood, and I rob hell for a living. I love y'all. God bless y'all tonight. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, the Lord and the Savior of the world.